There's only a couple of census tracts that are not within the zone. So as long as a business falls within the boundaries of the established zone, then they are entitled to that 50% abatement as long as they are within these North American Industrial Code classifications.
And you're saying that's the map of it up
there?
That's
the map. Yep, okay. Yes, ma'am.
So I knew the city of Forsyth and city of Branson also are all the cities, municipalities?
Well, so the city of Forsyth, prior to our efforts, had established their own zone.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, and I probably shouldn't do this by memory, but I'd say by at least 12 months to 18 months prior, had went ahead and did a zone specifically within a census tract within the city limits of Forsyth to establish their own enhanced enterprise zone. So this is different. There's the Forsyth enhanced enterprise zone, mm-hmm. then there's the countywide enhanced enterprise zone. And if you look on this map, there are actually portions of this, within the city limits of Branson that are not within the zone.
Oh.
So these, all these red striped areas, that's in.
Okay.
The non-red striped areas, that's out.
Okay. And that's good for 10 years, but I thought you said they could renew as long as they were...
No, they can... So, well, technically, so let's use... let's say we have a company come in and they build a 25,000 square foot building. And then 6 years in, they add an additional 25,000 square feet. They could apply for that addition for its own 10 years of abatement. So the abatement covers any improvements of real property. So you can have an existing growing business, that has, I'm just going to use simple numbers. They have a tax burden, the property, real property tax burden of $10,000. They add an addition and add 15 new jobs, which doesn't really matter because it's not a prerequisite. So they add a new addition that puts their property tax bill now at $20,000. So originally it was 10, new addition, now it's 20. So they can receive the abatement on the new, so their actual property tax due would be $15,000 for that 10 years. Does that make sense?
Yes. Did you say, though, when you said new employees, that it wasn't a requirement?
No, the
not for the new addition, but to begin with, they don't have to have it so many employees?
No, ma'am. So originally, the discretionary portion of the program was through the state tax incentives, the tax credits. And that's where we had, it had to be two new employees with a minimum investment of $100,000.
Yeah. It's not that way now?
No.
They've not updated their site then.
Well, the tax credits that were applicable when we established the zone, that program has changed, so now it's Missouri Works. And also, I thought we might get there, so I included a pamphlet with Missouri Works.
Uh-huh.
So to access, so the benefit of the enhanced enterprise zone now in reference to state incentives is applicable to Missouri Works. And by having an established zone, you'll see on that first page in that spreadsheet format, Zone Works, Note 1, there you see that discretionary piece again. So mm-hmm. two jobs, minimum of two new jobs with a minimum private capital investment of $100,000. The average, they have to hit, those new jobs have to be at least 80% of county average wage to get the benefits of the withholdings for 5 or 6 years at the state level. Does that make sense?
At the state level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we got, let's separate. Local property tax abatement, that's it. Plain and simple. 50% abatement for 10 years. That's local. That's what we have established. That's what we manage. We don't control because once we establish the zone and they fall within these NAICS codes, they're entitled to that 50%. State incentives is where the discretionary piece comes in. Jobs, wages, minimal investment. If they want to access the Missouri Works program through the Department of Economic Development. Two totally separate deals.
So it's not, see, I thought maybe one thing it was doing was helping the employment on if they had to meet the requirements, like they had to furnish health insurance, where you don't have to do health insurance unless you've got 50 employees. Mm-hmm. But what I had read, they have to furnish health insurance. But that's
if they want to access the Missouri Works program through the state.
Okay. So through the county, though, they're just guaranteed the 50% abatement off their taxes, and it has nothing to do with employment.
No.
Hmm. Okay.
And that's what it was, I mean, technically originally, because we can't control what the state of Missouri does.
Okay. I thought at that time it would help the employment. And, of course, now we're down to, we're lower than the national level on unemployment, but I thought at the time it was to help.
Sure, yeah, and that was one of the things, but quite frankly, and this is just to be able to access the state benefits and only have to hit 80% of county average wage, that's not really helping our issue, right? So I think if you again separate from this, and what we're advocating for is year-round employment at or above county average wage, two totally different deals. But this program is accessible through the department if they are, again, if they locate within the zone that's established.
And they don't have to hire any employees. They just have to locate the business with a certain amount.
Are you talking the state program or local?
The local.
Local is
no.
Local is non-discretionary. As long as they are in the zone, fall within the NAICS code, they're entitled to the 50% abatement for 10 years.
Okay.
Now, so two examples. We've only had two companies take advantage of it. Right? So two examples. We know that they created more than two jobs, and mm-hmm. between the two of them, invested over $30 million. One of them is a year-round business, and I think the direct, indirect, and induced sales tax generated off those two businesses far exceed what the state requirements would be for the the two jobs and $100,000 investment.
It's a given. They've got to have employees for it. It's just have to have the health insurance and other things that go with it.
Yeah, and we know that even if you look at those two companies, they would have far exceeded the requirements because all their employees receive benefits, at least that I'm aware of, mm-hmm. Or at least most of them do that I'm aware of. That's not been a concern. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it was me. And they've been in business. How many years did you say?
Oh goodness. Now again, here we go. Memory. They both submitted, I believe, first year of operation was 17. Chuck, are you still there? Do you remember? Was it 2017?
I believe you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and that reminds me, too, if I didn't mention, the zone is in effect for 25 years. So when it was approved and established as of January of 2013, we've got till 2038.
2038.
And then it will be somebody else's responsibility.
Someone else's? It cannot be renewed?
It might be, but I'll be 70 years old by then.
I got what you mean.
If I'm sitting here reporting to you at 70... I don't know. I'm either.
What are you talking about? Seven? That's not old. Come on.
I think I walked in at a bad time.
Yeah. No, and with, I'm not trying to be flippant, but at the end of the 25-year period, I'd have to do some research, but I would assume that if the powers that be within the county would want to continue, there's probably a method. Or legislation changes on an annual basis, so who knows? But that would, like I said, somebody else will have to take that.
So if a business comes and wants to apply, they fill out the application, go before you, the board members?
Well, it's not necessarily, it's not an application because it's an entitlement, right? So in reference to the board, so I'm the administrator and we have a 7-member board. And I also, if you want to check, all this is defined in Missouri State Statute 135.950 through 135.973. The board basically oversees the fact that business is one of two things. One, is located inside the eligible portion of the zone, and two, falls within one of the eligible NAICS codes. That's it. And they make sure that we submit our annual report to the Department of Economic Development on a regular basis.
So you would at least have to meet once a year, or if someone...
By state statute, we are required to meet once a year. We have chosen to meet twice a year, and in our December meeting, what I usually do is give the board an update of potential projects within the county that either the Taney County Partnership is working on or that we're aware of that would qualify for benefits if they so choose.
I'm a little slow then. You said would qualify for benefit if they so choose, but I thought if they were going to build the business within that zone, it would be automatic if they...
They have to ask for it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So there are, let me just say this. We've had two businesses take advantage of the program. Those two businesses are not the only eligible business that could take advantage of the program.
Oh. That was very nice of the others.
Well, and we share, we give, you know, if when, and so sometimes incentives get a bad rep.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
Because it could affect the school districts greatly.
Sure. But the school districts in this process, all the school districts signed off on the 50% abatement for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And so, and quite honestly, When we're talking to prospects or companies that have made the decision to expand or relocate, incentives aren't a deciding factor, quite frankly. Those business decisions are made based off profit and shareholder wealth, right? If they're making a decision, or if they hypothetical situation, if they call my office and the first thing they ask for is, well, what kind of incentives do you have? That's probably not a good project for us. Because they more than likely have a dream, and they're looking how to fund their dream, and they don't have the capital to do what they need to do, and they're making poor business decisions. Now, at the end of the day, if you have a good project, and they have a small gap or a way to help with cash flow to ensure their success, or maybe, you know, shorten the timeline to where they are profitable, then that's a good piece. That's a good help. So... But we share all the tools. You know, this is not the only one we have. If you look at the opportunity zone that was established in the city limits of Branson, so you have an opportunity zone that is partially within an enhanced enterprise zone, which is also within a foreign trade zone. So there's a lot of, and that's just the local, right? Local and regional stuff. And then that's before you get into the state incentive packages and programs. Missouri Works being the most often used or applicable. So. And then once after, that initial board was formed, I think page two there, I show you, that's the current members. According to state statute, until a member is reappointed or a replacement is appointed, they continue to serve. Mm-hmm. And when we started out, those were staggered 5-4-3-2, and then as those years have passed, all remaining board appointees will serve 5-year terms. Page three that I gave you, that is, I believe, last year's annual activity report. So, we have a board meeting scheduled here in the next few weeks that I will present this year's report to them and send off to DED. And then, like I said, the Missouri Works pamphlet is there included in that packet also.
So it sounds like two times you meet, June and December.
Yes, ma'am. That's what we've historically done. And again, the December meeting is just an update. Dr. Osborne is kind enough to allow us to use the Kirbyville Safe Room to meet. And again, we just come together. I give them an update on projects, who could be eligible if they so chose.
I think I just have one more question, and let Mr. Williams take. Is then who notifies the assessor, the state or your board?
We do.
You do.
Yeah. We have a form that